Part 2. Listening Comprehension.
Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations. Question 1. Take a look at this catalog. Maybe we can find some gifts for Jane's new house.
Okay, but remember, we can't afford a lot.
What does the woman mean?
Question 2. I'm getting absolutely nowhere with these statistics.
How about my going through them with you?
What does the man mean?
Question 3. We're ready to start the recording, aren't we? Let's begin on page 55.
Sorry, I'm afraid I can't begin right now. I forgot to bring my scripts.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 4. Remember, Carl's wedding is June 26th.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. I thought it wasn't to be until sometime in July.
What are the speakers talking about?
Question 5. Please excuse me for not attending the meeting yesterday. I'm afraid I forgot to check the schedule.
That's all right. We have to rearrange the meeting at weekend, and everything went wrong.
What does it mean from the conversation?
Question 6. I've just put our lunch in the oven, and it won't be ready for at least half an hour.
It smells marvelous. But what can I have right now?
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 7. I got some bad news today. The store where I work is laying off staff.
Are they going to let you go?
What does the woman want to know?
Question 8. John, you swim like a fish. I wish I knew how to swim.
Why not sign up for the lessons offered by the physical education department?
What does the man mean? Now you'll hear the 2 long conversations. Conversation 1. Hi, Eric. How was your weekend?
Great. I met Maria's parents, and we told them we want to be engaged.
Eric, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thanks, Alice. I really like her parents, too. They're very nice. Miss Carmona speaks 4 languages, and Mr. Carmona is a diplomat. In fact, he gave a speech at the law school on Saturday morning.
Oh, that was Maria's father? I heard his speech.
You did?
Well, I heard part of it. I listened to it for 10 minutes, and then I fell asleep. I thought I was in class. Anyway, tell me about your weekend.
Saturday evening, we saw a play, and Sunday afternoon, we watched a soccer game. Then Sunday night, we all went out for dinner. Maria, her parents, and me. That was the first chance we had to talk.
Were you nervous?
At first I was. We didn't say much. Mr. Carmona told us some good stories about his experiences as a diplomat, and he asked me about my hobbies.
And what did you say?
Well, I didn't tell him about my flying lessons. I told him about my chess playing and my classical music collection.
Good idea. Her parents really approve of you, don't they?
I guess so. Maria called this morning and said, "My father told me he'd like you for a son-in-law right now."
That's great.
Not exactly. I want to get married after graduate school in about 3 years.
Questions 9 to 11 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 9. What does Eric say about Maria's father? Question 10. What did Eric and Maria do last Sunday afternoon? Question 11. What did we learn from Maria's phone call this morning?
Conversation 2. You're going to wear out the computer's keyboard.
Oh, hi.
Do you have any idea what time it is?
About 10 or 10:30?
It's nearly midnight.
Really? I didn't know it was so late.
Don't you have an early class to teach tomorrow morning?
Yes, at 7. My commuter class. The students go to work right after their lesson.
Then you ought to go to bed. What are you writing anyway?
An article I hope I can sell.
Oh, another of your newspaper pieces. What's this one about?
Do you remember the trip I took last month?
The one up to the Amazon?
Well, that's what I'm writing about. The new highway and the changes it's making in the Amazon Valley.
It should be interesting.
It is. I guess that's why I forgot all about the time.
How many articles have you sold now?
About a dozen so far.
What kind of newspapers buy them?
The papers that carry a lot of foreign news. They usually appear in the big Sunday editions where they need a lot of background stories to help fill up the space between the ads.
Is there any future in it?
I hope so. There's a chance I may sell this article to a news service.
Then your story will be published in several papers, wouldn't it?
That's the idea. And it might even be able to do other stories on a regular basis.
That will be great. Questions 12 to 15 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 12. What is the woman's occupation? Question 13. What is the woman writing about? Question 14. Where did the woman's articles usually appear? Question 15. What does the woman expect?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. Body language, especially gestures, varies among cultures. For example, a nod of the head means yes to most of us. But in Bulgaria and Greece, a nod means no, and a shake of the head means yes. Likewise, a sign for OK, forming a circle with our forefinger and thumb, means zero in France and money in Japan. Waving or pointing to an Arab business person would be considered rude because that is how Arabs call their dogs over. Folded arms signal pride in Finland, but disrespect in Fiji. The number of bows that the Japanese exchange on greeting each other, as well as the length and the depth of the bows, signals the social status each party feels towards the other. Italians might think you're bored unless you use a lot of gestures during discussions. Many American men sit with their legs crossed with one ankle resting over the opposite knee. However, this would be considered an insult in Muslim countries, where one would never show the sole of the foot to a guest. Likewise, Americans consider eye contact very important, often not trusting someone who is afraid to look you in the eye. But in Japan and many Latin American countries, keeping the eyes lowered is a sign of respect. To look a partner full in the eye is considered a sign of ill breeding and is felt to be annoying.
Questions 16 to 18 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 16. What gesture do Bulgarians and Greeks use to express negative responses? Question 17. What is likely to offend Arab business people? Question 18. What is considered to be impolite in Muslim countries? Passage 2. 3 years ago, Puncha Maya, her husband and 5 children lived in a shaky flat in southern Nepal. Every morning, the parents walked the dirt roads seeking work in the rice fields. After the harvest, the family went begging for food. Today, the Mayas own a small paper bag making company. With the money they've earned, the Mayas have purchased a small plot on which they grow vegetables and raise goats for additional income. In fact, the family has saved $68. This is remarkable in a country with an average annual income of $160. Grace Mbakwa, her husband and 8 children once lived hand-to-mouth in Cameroon. Today, the Mbakwas run a clothing manufacturing business and own a home. They are able to send their children to school at a costly annual sum of $2,800. The idea of starting her own business seemed impossible to Pilar Moya, a poor woman from Atahualpa, high in Ecuador's Andes Mountains. Today, however, she is one of the proud owners of a bakery specializing in sweet cakes. These businesses are part of an economic revolution sweeping the developing world. The sponsor is the Trickle Up Program, a nonprofit organization founded by New Yorkers Glenn and Mildred Leet. This organization offers people like the Mayas, the Mbakwas, and the Moya modest $100 grants. Since 1979, the program has helped over 130,000 of the world's neediest people in 90 countries who win small life-saving victories over poverty. and it has turned conventional thinking about foreign aid on its head.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 19. What do we learn about Panchamaya's family of 3 years ago? Question 20. What are the Mimbakwas able to do now? Question 21. What does the speaker mainly talk about? Passage 3. Take care of your teeth, and your teeth will take care of you. Your teeth are a living part of your body. They have nerves and blood vessels. Diseased teeth can cause pain, die, and fall out. Plaque is the main enemy of healthy teeth. Everyone has plaque. It is a sticky, colorless film that coats the teeth. Plaque is always forming on the teeth, especially at the gum line. If plaque is not removed, it builds up and gets under the gum line. Plaque that is left on the teeth for some time hardens. The result is tooth decay and gum disease. The bacteria in plaque live on sugar. They change sugar into acids, which break down the tooth's harder outer covering. If left untreated, decay goes deeper and deeper into the tooth. After a while, the decay reaches the nerves and blood vessels of the inner tooth. By the time this happens, the tooth has probably started to ache. In addition to tooth decay, there are also some gum diseases to watch out for. The bacteria in plaque make poisons that attack the gums. Small pockets form around the teeth. The pockets trap more bacteria and food particles. Finally, the bone supporting the teeth is attacked and starts to shrink. Teeth become loose and may fall out. Adults lose most teeth this way. Keep your mouth healthy. When you brush your teeth, do a good job.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 22. What does the speaker say about our teeth? Question 23. What does the speaker say about plaque? Question 24. Why is sugar harmful to teeth? Question 25. What causes adults to lose most of their teeth, according to the speaker? Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage 3 times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the 2nd time, you are required to fill in the blanks with the exact words you have just heard. Finally, when the passage is read for the 3rd time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
Stunt people are not movie stars, but they are the hidden heroes of many movies. They were around long before films. Even Shakespeare may have used them in fight scenes. To be good, a fight scene has to look real. Punches must land on enemies' jaws. Sword fights must be fought with sharp swords. Several actors are usually in a fight scene. Their moves must be set up so that no one gets hurt. It is almost like planning a dance performance. If a movie scene is dangerous, stunts people usually fill in for the stars. You may think you see Tom Cruise running along the top of a train, but it is probably his stunt double. Stunt people must resemble the stars they stand in for. Their height and build should be about the same. But when close-ups are needed, the film focuses on the star. Some stunt people specialize in certain kinds of scenes. For instance, a stunt woman named Jan Davis does all kinds of jumps. She has leapt from planes and even off the top of a waterfall. Each jump required careful planning and expert timing. Jaquimar Canut was a famous cowboy stuntman. Among other stunts, he could jump from a second-story window onto a horse's back. He invented the famous trick of sliding under a moving stagecoach. Canut also figured out a new way to make a punch look real. He was the only stuntman ever to get an Oscar.
Now the passage will be read again. Stunt people are not movie stars, but they are the hidden heroes of many movies. They were around long before films. Even Shakespeare may have used them in fight scenes. To be good, a fight scene has to look real. Punches must land on enemies' jaws. Sword fights must be fought with sharp swords. Several actors are usually in a fight scene. Their moves must be set up so that no one gets hurt. It is almost like planning a dance performance. If a movie scene is dangerous, stunt people usually fill in for the stars. You may think you see Tom Cruise running along the top of a train, but it is probably his stunt double. Stunt people must resemble the stars they stand in for. Their height and build should be about the same. But when close-ups are needed, the film focuses on the star. Some stunt people specialize in certain kinds of scenes. For instance, a stunt woman named Jan Davis does all kinds of jumps. She has leapt from planes and even off the top of a waterfall. Each jump required careful planning and expert timing. Jaquimar Canut was a famous cowboy stuntman. Among other stunts, he could jump from a second-story window onto a horse's back. He invented the famous trick of sliding under a moving stagecoach. Canut also figured out a new way to make a punch look real. He was the only stuntman ever to get an Oscar.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. Stunt people are not movie stars, but they are the hidden heroes of many movies. They were around long before films. Even Shakespeare may have used them in fight scenes. To be good, a fight scene has to look real. Punches must land on enemies' jaws. Sword fights must be fought with sharp swords. Several actors are usually in a fight scene. Their moves must be set up so that no one gets hurt. It is almost like planning a dance performance. If a movie scene is dangerous, stunt people usually fill in for the stars. You may think you see Tom Cruise running along the top of a train, but it is probably his stunt double. Stunt people must resemble the stars they stand in for. Their height and build should be about the same. But when close-ups are needed, the film focuses on the star. Some stunt people specialize in certain kinds of scenes. For instance, a stunt woman named Jan Davis does all kinds of jumps. She has leapt from planes and even off the top of a waterfall. Each jump required careful planning and expert timing. Jaquimar Canut was a famous cowboy stuntman. Among other stunts, he could jump from a second-story window onto a horse's back. he invented the famous trick of sliding under a moving stagecoach. Canute also figured out a new way to make a punch look real. He was the only stuntman ever to get an Oscar.
This is the end of listening comprehension.